Mike, and I'm going to blampede. Did I do that right? There you go. I'm getting a thumbs up. Received a text message at about 2:30 this morning. That's when the U.S. Geological Survey's Earthquake Hazards Program Associate Coordinator learned of the ground shaking in Death Valley, California. Blampede says that the alert sent the USGS into action, and Federal News Radio's Jason Miller tells us what the agency is doing. So Mr. Blampede had to jump out of bed and go into the office. I'm picturing him taking off, you know, the feeties off of his jammies and like jumping into his, like,
kind
a firefighter.
Of Superman-y.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it was only that exciting, but actually he didn't actually jump out of bed, or actually even I think he barely woke up, looked at the text and went on. Because I asked him that same question. I said, was it like the Hillary Clinton, you know, for president commercial at 3 a.m. And he goes, actually, no, he received that text message, but it doesn't mean that USGS wasn't hard at work. And actually, he explains what kind of went on.
Folks in our Earthquake Information Center were hard at work at it because that's a sizable earthquake. But it was not one, given its location and size, that was likely to be a human disaster.
If it was in a populated area like San Francisco, which is the common one we all use, that may have been a different story, right?
Absolutely. A magnitude 5 in an urban area will almost certainly have, of course, widely felt and be instant media attention, and also could cause some localized damage. If we were to have a magnitude 5 earthquake under a central U.S. city or an eastern U.S. city, we would be quite concerned because the buildings in the central and eastern U.S. are considerably older and typically buildings not built to modern seismic design standards. So even a moderate magnitude earthquake in the east could have considerable impact relative to one out in California.
Okay, so USGS has to collect the information. How do they do that, though, when or as these events happen? Who gets the information? How does that work?
Well, the agency collects information two ways. First, there's a seismic metering and monitoring, which are placed all around the country, and especially in areas along the coast or where we've seen earthquake activity before.
Sure.
And Blampede says the information is streamed back to a central database at headquarters.
We make a rapid evaluation of the size, location, magnitude, impacts of the earthquake. The other thing that happens for an earthquake at sea, of course, our worry is that there may have been a tsunami created. Now, the federal responsibility for tsunami warning rests with NOAA. They receive seismic data streamed from the USGS seismometers into tsunami warning centers, both in Alaska and Hawaii, and they also make an extremely rapid evaluation of the size, depth, and nature of the earthquake and make a decision about whether it's likely or possible that a tsunami was created and blast that information out.
So obviously there's some coordination here among NOAA and USGS, but then USGS also asks those who actually have experienced the earthquake for help as well.
We have a system called Did You Feel It that allows anybody who has felt an earthquake to go on the web, fill out a short form, which sends information back, and we immediately put it up on a map. So if anybody goes to earthquake.usgs.gov following an earthquake, they can register having felt it and what they experienced, and contribute to a very rapidly growing understanding of the impact of the earthquake.
Oh, I love that. And I can almost picture them eventually feeding into like a Twitter kind of thing or something like that. So USGS, they're essentially crowdsourcing what's going on out there.
And that's exactly right. In fact, they're getting a lot of response.
For this Death Valley earthquake, despite that being a relatively low population density in central eastern California, over 200 people have responded in 88 different zip codes spanning central and eastern California, and we have a map up on the web that shows in colors the distribution of shaking that was experienced from that earthquake.
And obviously, if there's a earthquake in a more dense part of the country, east coast, west coast, they even get more hits. At one point, he said about 60,000 to 70,000 people will give their experience on the site when something like that happens. And the site's not just the U.S. only, it's worldwide. The greatest thing about the site that really I was really interested about is there's been some earthquakes in the Northeast. There's one kind of east of Buffalo recently, and even one out in Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming. Buffalo.
Really?
You just don't know it, but people put in, they feel something shake. You know, we've had them in the D.C. area where you just feel enough to go, did that happen? And
oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. And it's really small, but we've had, like, I remember there was one, I was living in Columbia, Maryland, and you heard a big, almost like a sonic boom. And you're like, was there a jet? Or did something happen? Yeah. And it turned out there was just an earthquake. I mean, this was a number of years ago. This was like a decade or more ago. But this type of thing is happening. They're reaching out to people all over saying, hey, give us some help. And people are visiting this website. Did you feel it? But also, Blampede says they're also data mining from other social media tools as well.
Following the big earthquake back in May 2008 in China, you'll remember that was a 7.9 earthquake that did huge amounts of damage in mountain towns in China. In that case, communication with the affected area was very, very limited because power was out, there were landslides covering the roads and so forth. However, there was a rapid accumulation of information on the web. People posted YouTube videos that had been shot with handheld cell phones and so forth right in these badly damaged towns. And scientists at USGS and elsewhere were able to go onto the web and begin mining this information to come up with a much better idea than had been had through other means of where the earthquake had happened, where it was likely that the fault had broken, where it was that we might have problems of incipient landslides or dammed rivers or other things of this nature. And so putting all this information together, including that could be gleaned from YouTube and so forth, scientists were able to put together a fairly rapid picture of the earthquake.
Okay, so now there is this humanitarian crisis going on in the Pacific. Even in Death Valley, California, there's trouble there. There are weeks to go. The geological survey, what are they going to be doing once the dust sort of settles, absolutely no pun intended, and that humanitarian crisis begins to pass?
Well, since these large earthquakes don't happen very often, there's a lot of scientists and other types of experts who'd go out maybe to Death Valley or the Pacific and really get a firsthand look at the damage and what has happened.
There's a number of different things that will be ongoing. One is a determination about whether there's scientific expertise that will be needed in the affected areas, and so that's an international conversation. In some cases, experts in earthquakes or ground rupture or engineering failure or tsunami damage will be asked to come to an affected area for studies, and that's to understand why the particular hazard was as it was, to try to learn what we can from this particular earthquake or tsunami in order to be better able to anticipate and safeguard in the future. Another thing is that any magnitude 7.5 or larger earthquake is a rarity, and it's an opportunity for seismologists to learn better how earthquakes happen.
Now, Blampede said he's unsure if USGS will send anyone out to these sites yet, but they're, you know, it's part of a bigger conversation that they'll have with the international community, as he mentioned, and see if a scientific response actually is warranted. Now, we've talked a lot about earthquakes, but USGS really also deals with floods. They deal with landslides and other similar kind of land-based.
And one can imagine using this kind of tool
absolutely
for other things.
And you know, and they have a 24/7 monitoring office that really looks at what's going on, not just, you know, across the U.S., but really across the world. And that's why he gets that text at 3 a.m. when, yeah, or 2:30 when something happens.
Wow.